I said, this passage is a wonderful preview of what baptism is for us, and it's a preview that we get in the Old Testament. It's just a great illustration of how God is at work in this action that is, I think, all over the New Testament, this thing called baptism. And I know that not every church has the same views of what baptism is, but just as a bottom line declaration of how we Lutherans view baptism, it is God doing something to us. Namely, it's a washing with the water and the Word of God for the forgiveness of sin, the washing away of our guilt. It's bringing a person into the family of God. Jesus said to be born again of water and the Spirit. This is how we believe in baptism. So in this story, this illustration, we have Naaman, the commander of the Syrian army, a high person in the Syrian court. He's a mighty warrior. He's an accomplished warrior. And we get this hint that even from early on, even though this man is a foreigner, and even though he has fought against Israel itself, God has been at work in his life. He's even given Naaman some victory in battle. He's respected by the king. He's a proud and high person in the court. But he's got a problem. He's got leprosy. Now, throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, we see leprosy is an issue. It's an issue that is not only painful physically, but for the people in Scriptures, it's painful also spiritually. When a person has leprosy, at least a Jewish person in the Bible, they're kind of viewed as outcasts. They're not invited to worship with everyone. They're not to be touched. They're physically and spiritually outcast from the rest of society. I kind of think of this as like AIDS used to be, at least. Like in the 1980s and 90s, AIDS kind of had this same kind of stigma attached to it, right? If a person had AIDS early on, when AIDS was just kind of exploding and becoming new, they were stigmatized. They were ostracized. You didn't want to go near them. There was so much mystery with it, and they were kind of on the outside of society. That's how leprosy is here. So this man who is powerful and proud about all the power that he has this problem. He's got this leprosy. And this leprosy is going to be the perfect thing for God to use to assault this man's pride and to bring him actually into faith. Because we see God at work throughout this man's life. We've seen it already, that God has given this man victory. And now God is going to use this thing to bring him into faith. He's going to attack Naaman right where it matters. He's going to attack him at his pride. And he starts this through the most humble person in Naaman's household, a slave girl. A girl that Naaman had captured in a raid against Israel and brought this little girl back into his household. She works for Naaman's wife. This little girl knows something about this prophet in Israel back home, and she tells her mistress, "Hey, if my master could only go and see the prophet who is in Samaria, I know he would be cured." This little servant girl, the most humble person in the house, is God's first use to bring Naaman down, to break down his pride, and to bring him into faith. And so this little girl tells her mistress, and the mistress tells Naaman, and Naaman goes and informs his king that there is a person in Samaria who could maybe take care of my leprosy, and the king gives him permission to go and, in fact, sends him to the king of Israel with a letter. And Naaman gets together all his wealth, fantastic amounts of silver and of gold and these nice pieces of clothing. He comes out in full regalia and he travels to Israel to go see the king of Israel and brings him this letter. And he kind of finds out that maybe the king doesn't care about him as much as he thought. That his king of Syria is kind of using Naaman, proud Naaman, as kind of a pawn in kind of political wrangling. Because when the king of Israel sees this letter, he immediately thinks, oh man, if I don't take care of this guy, Syria is going to come down hard on me. This is a way for the Syrian king to find weakness in us, to have some cause for war against us. And so the king of Israel tears his clothes. He's in torment about what to do about this man who has come to him. And at this, the prophet Elisha hears that the king has torn his clothes and is in dismay. And so he calls for Naaman to be sent down to him. And here's where Naaman's pride really takes a beating. Naaman gathers all his stuff. He gathers his horses and his chariots, and he comes in full parade to Naaman's or to Elisha's house, much like a presidential motorcade coming down the street. Imagine the presidential motorcade coming down the street, parking at your house. Okay, let's also imagine that you like the president that's coming, whoever this president might be, and you would love to receive them. Of course, if the motorcade comes to your house, you run out there, you're welcoming them, you're doing everything you can to make that person know how important you think they are. Elisha doesn't do that. Elisha doesn't even go out to greet Naaman. In fact, he doesn't even talk to him. He doesn't welcome him into his house. This great foreign dignitary is forced to stand out on the doorstep. And Elisha sends his servant to go talk to Naaman. And the servant, all the servant says is, listen, go wash down in the Jordan River 7 times and you will be clean. He doesn't go talk to him. Naaman doesn't like this at all. And at this point, Naaman's pride finally wins out, and he stomps away in a rage, and he's furious. Aren't the rivers of my homeland good enough to wash in? Why do I have to wash in this dirty Jordan River that's barely a stream? His pride has won out. In fact, we see later that had Elisha told him something difficult to go do, some quest that he could hang his head on, and some feat of strength to go do, Naaman surely would have gone and done that. That would have played with his pride pretty well and played with his prestige and the power of who he was. But he didn't do that. Naaman expected Elisha to come out and greet him as the important person he is and to wave his hand over the place and do some kind of great ceremony over the disease. And Naaman expected all this, but nothing. Just a word. Go wash and be clean. His pride, like our own, gets in the way. We like to be in control of things. We like to have a part in things if we can, no matter what it is. We like to have ownership in something, whether it's our faith or anything else. We like to think that we're important, that we're owed some attention, even if that attention is pity. This is Naaman's problem. It's our problem too. But God loves to break down the pride of a person. He loves to come into a person's life and to break them down and humble them and bring him and her to faith in himself. He loves to assault pride. He loves to assault a person's control. He loves to assault a person's lack of faith. God is doing this in Naaman's life. Surely he is doing it in yours. And a strange and wonderful thing about the Lord, a painful thing about the Lord, is that he will use whatever is available to him to make this happen. Naaman had leprosy. Guess what? God's going to use that. Do you have cancer? Guess what? God can use that to bring you to deeper faith in yourself, in himself. Have you struggled with a breakup, the loss of a job, lost your house to a fire? Do you struggle with mental illness and depression? Do you struggle with the death of a loved one? God can and will bring you to faith in him through using these very things that afflict our lives. Do you have difficult children? God will use that too. God has shown me so much about my sinful nature by being a parent. Every day, I am exposed as a selfish and impatient person, and God uses my children to show me that and draws me closer to him in dependence and on faith in him. God will use whatever is available to him to show us the abundance of his grace. And for Naaman, he uses his leprosy to bring him down and to bring him into faith. Naaman's servants serve him really well. And they tell him, listen, if he had told you to do something difficult, you would have done it. Has he really told you something as simple as go wash and be clean? Why not just do it? And so Naaman does. He goes and he washes in the dirty Jordan River 7 times. And like that, he is clean and made well. He is given this command to go wash. He is given a promise with it, be clean. And out of these things, he is brought into faith in the Lord. There is no God except the God who is in Israel. And he worships him the rest of his days. God's grace is an assault on our pride. And the number one reason why it is so is because it comes so freely to us. Think of how free and easy it is to bring a baby to the waters of baptism, where God says, wash and be clean. What has that baby done except cry and poop and eat? Nothing. It comes so freely. But at the same time, it comes at great expense, because those benefits we receive cost our Lord Jesus so very much. It cost him the cross. And how humbling it is to see Jesus on the cross, to see him in pain for our suffering. It comes to us freely, but it comes at great cost. I'll end with reading from Titus chapter 3, verses 3 to 7. And you can see in this short passage what we once were and what God has brought us to be. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful Father, we give you thanks for the many ways that you have worked in our lives, many ways which are painful. Give us the faith, O Lord, to see how you are active in our lives, how you are breaking us down so that we might be built up in you in faith. Help us also to see, O Lord, what you have done for us in baptism, washing us and making us clean, claiming us as your own. We thank you for these gifts. We thank you for this promise. Help us to live in them. We pray this in your name. Amen.